Hi, I'm Michelle. I'm an alcoholic. I am happy, and I'm happy no matter what. And I'm happy when I'm sad, and I'm happy when I'm mad, and I'm happy when and everything is going wrong in my day. And I'm truly grateful for that. I'm very nervous. You know, where I came from and where I'm at now, you know, I'm very, very grateful. And I can't even explain it because it's just a feeling, and it's a feeling that I have every single day of my life, because anything is better from where I used to be, and it's a long way from where I used to be, you know, and it's a short way from where I used to be, but such a long way from where I want to be. And so I'm going to speak on steps 1, 2, and 3, and just to cover on step 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. For me, I knew that I was powerless over alcohol while I was drinking, you know, and that's how it worked for me. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous twice, and the first time I came in, I didn't really believe so much that I was an alcoholic, and I didn't come to meetings a lot, and I didn't work the program, and I didn't have a sponsor, and I eventually went back out, and here I am again. So I came back, and my sober date is July 1st, 2010, and I got my butt kicked very, 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 very bad. And I came in, and if you told me that I had to lick the dirt off the corner of the floor, as gross as it may seem, I would have done that. Because anything, you know, was better than where I've been. I had a lot of hope. You know, I had a lot of hope when I came in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I believed that my life, like anything, you know, had to be better than what I was living and what alcohol was doing to me. I have a family, I have children, and I knew I was powerless because I couldn't stop and I wanted to. I wanted to stop drinking and I wanted to be a good mother. I wanted to stop drinking and I wanted to be a good wife. And every time I wanted to put the drink down, I always, for some reason, picked it back up. I knew in my heart and soul that this is not who I wanted to be, you know? And I would say that, Michelle, you know what? You're not going to drink today. Today's the day. You're going to start over, you know, all the pain and the remorse and the shame that I felt. It's all going to go away because you're going to get better. You know, you're going to get better. You're really going to do it this time. And pretty much, you know, just like it says in the big book, you know, there was not a cloud on the horizon. You know, everything is perfectly great. And I think of a drink. And once that drink, that thought enters my head, it wipes out everything, and then I have no choice, and I have no control. And I didn't know that about my alcoholism. I had no idea what to be an alcoholic was until I came here the second time. I thought that I was a bad person. I thought that I made bad choices and that I was a bad person, and you know, and I didn't think that I had a disease, and there was a solution. I had no idea. But when I came in here, I was willing, you know, and I'm thankful that I was brought to that place, because the willingness that I had is brought me this far, you know. When I was 16 years old, I thought that I was a very ugly person. And I thought that I would never get married. And I thought that I would never have children. I would never aspire to be anything in my life. That was my true feelings. I look back at those pictures now, and I'm like, well, I wasn't an ugly person. You know, I really wasn't. You know, when I was 10 years old, you know, I was a little girl, you know, and I wasn't ugly. But that's how I felt inside. And I truly, truly believed it. I believed that I was that ugly person. And as I got older and I started to drink, I started to feel better. And it was really fun, and it was really, really, really cool. And I would go out, and I would feel pretty, and everything that I thought about myself would be wiped away. And I would go out, And then I would wake up in the morning, and I wouldn't even think about the things that I felt later on in life, because I would just constantly be drinking. And I never thought it was a problem, because I was having such a good time, you know? And then I had a child, and things changed. Now, I didn't drink when I was pregnant, but I did not stop thinking about drinking while I was pregnant. And when I was going to have my first child, I had it planned out that I was going to have a nice tall glass of Guinness brought to the hospital, you know, because I deserved it. I've gone a really long time without alcohol. And I needed that. And every excuse under the book, you know, I was a single mom, and my mother is where I lived with my mother, and she would say, you know, why are you going out? Why are you going out? And I'm like, you don't understand. I was like, I need to find a husband, you know? So I would go out to the bars, and, you know, and a husband wasn't really what I was looking for. I was looking to, you know, get drunk and have a good time. I didn't know I was powerless back then. I had no idea. I knew I was powerless the second time I went out. I knew that I was powerless because I was leaving my husband and my children, and that's where I really wanted to be. You know, I had the family now. I had my husband now, and I was leaving them, and I didn't want to, but I had to, you know. I came down pretty hard. I left my family for about 2 weeks, and by the grace of God, I went into rehab, and I knew in rehab that when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous the first time, I didn't do any work. And I just had this feeling that maybe if I was to get a sponsor, and maybe I was to do the steps, that, you know, maybe, like, things would be good for me, you know, because that's certainly, like, what I didn't do before. I am a little nervous, so forgive me. So back to being powerless, I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know how to put a drink down or anything else that I was doing. And to explain it fully, I felt like something came over me and took away me. I felt like something came inside me, and I had no choice, and I was going to be led in that direction, wherever it took me. I wanted it to be gone, and when I went into rehab, it's the first time I got on my knees. You know, I was petrified. My husband, he took me to court because I was an unfit mother, and I was an unfit wife, and he didn't want me around. And that's someplace that I never thought that I would end up. And when I went in that courtroom right before I went on a plane to rehab, because they thought that I needed to go away very far, and I believe that they were right, because I was in a few rehabs before, and I just left. At that moment, I knew that if I got down on my knees and I prayed, that something was going to happen, and something did happen. You know, for the first time in my life, you know, I realized that, like, you know, I have no control over this. This is something that I can't stop, and I certainly can't do on my own. And I decided in my head, or I came to in my head, I realized that if something is so powerful over me and I can't control it, then there has to be some other power that's got to take care of this for me. There has to be something, because to live a life where you just throw yourself away and you die a slow death, and you wake up and you go to sleep at 2 o'clock in the afternoon while your children are running around, or while your husband is calling you nasty names, and you don't do anything about that, and you can't do anything, there's got to be something. There has to be. And so I started to pray. And that's when I was led back to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was very fortunate, because at the rehab, it was very Alcoholics Anonymous based. And everybody was, that counselor, everybody that worked there was in recovery. They were in the program. And I couldn't ask. It was like, it was a miracle. It was like, you know, I was in heaven, you know. And that's how I felt when I was in rehab. And I just couldn't wait to start working the steps. I couldn't wait, you know. And you know, some people would say, oh, take it easy. Take it easy, Michelle. And I said, I want to get better, you know. I want to know what this is about, you know. And I've been wondering about it for years. And I certainly need it more than ever now. And my life had been pretty damn unmanageable. You know, when you come home and your husband has a sign on the banister that says, please stay the hell out of this house. There's got to be some unmanageability there. So I started to get a sponsor. I got a sponsor. And I started to work on the big book right away. And lucky for me, I was blessed with finding this wonderful big book step study at St. William's, and Paul and Karina happened to be running it for 6 months while I was going through the big book with my sponsor. And it was amazing, amazing experience. And I got to go through that, and I got to learn so much. I learned so much. I learned about alcoholism, about my disease. I learned that no amount of knowledge is going to keep me sober. It's all God, you know. And there is where I found a God. I think Suzanne belongs to this group. I remember Suzanne saying, you know, talking about a conscious contact with a higher power. I remember that's so crystal clear. I remember her saying that, you know, it's like, you know, you just stop. And you appreciate the life around you, and you just, like, you know, you're there with God, and you have full trust in God. And while I was going through that, that's when I had my first God experience, and it was amazing. It really was. And it's not a perfect road for me right now, you know. But the one thing I am sure is that I am powerless over alcohol. And the fact that I'm standing here right now and I live my life knowing that every single day I'm truly grateful. Some people, they don't realize that they're powerless over alcohol right away. And I was fortunate. I was fortunate to know that I don't think that I would have survived going out there one more time, and I certainly wouldn't have my family, and I still have them, including another child. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I always believed in God, you know, and my image of God in my head was basically that I'm a bad girl. You know, I grew up, you know, I was always a bad girl, and I'm not going to go to heaven. I was raised Catholic, and so my perception of a higher power at first wasn't, you know, I didn't believe that God was going to take me to where he has taken me now. I did not believe that at all. I thought I believed. You know, when I was going through this my first couple of months, I was just like, whatever you say, I'm going to do. And I believe, I wanted to believe, and I truly didn't. And I had to come to that point, you know, where I truly put all my faith in him. And that was a very hard thing for me to do. It's hard today sometimes, you know. Sometimes today, I forget how big he is. My higher power is very, very big. And he works in a way that never ceases to amaze me. He puts people in my life. He put meanings in my life. He puts me exactly where I'm supposed to be. I had a hard time with, like, peace in my life, and then I read the acceptance prayer probably 150 times before I actually understood it, you know, or experienced it, you know. And the truth is every time I come to accept any person, place, or thing for exactly what it is, exactly where it's supposed to be and what it's supposed to do, that's when I feel peace. That's when things start to change in my life. So I believed in the beginning, I did believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I did believe that. I believe that, you know, anything is better than where the hell that I was been through. I was in a pretty crazy place even when I stopped drinking the first time. But my life was never manageable. And what I learned was that without the steps in my life is always going to be unmanageable, you know? It's not going to be manageable at all. I'm not going to be able to do the things, be the person that I am today. And making a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as we understood him. And that was a big move, because like it says in the big book, you know, you have to believe 100%. You have to be convinced. I remember, sorry for the shout out, Karina. I remember Karina saying it over and over again. You and Paul, you have to be convinced. You know, what does it mean, you know, to turn your life and your will over? A lot of people say that it's to move on with the rest of the steps. You know, and some people say that you know, it's to be completely convinced that God is going to take you exactly where you need to be, you know, in your life. And sometimes that's hard for me, and sometimes that's easy. But I know exactly what I got to do to find those answers. And I have a lot of people in my life today to remind me, and I do a lot of things in my life today to keep me on that path. I think I am done, though. I'd like to open it up. Yeah.